Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999.
Hello, and thanks for joining us for another episode of Friends with Money, Money Magazine's podcast to help you earn, save, and achieve your financial goals. My name is Tom Watson, a senior journalist here at Money Magazine, and as always, it's great to be with you. Today's episode is brought to you by Aware Super. Have you been thinking about retirement? Well, Aware Super's My Retirement Planner is helping their members get retirement ready, whether retirement is 2 or 20 years away. Find out how Aware Super could help you get retirement ready at aware.com.au. Be sure to read the PDS and TMD before deciding, though. Now, on to today's show. As regular listeners may remember, we did an episode back in June with Bell Direct's Grady Wolf, which really got into how people can invest and hold gold. It's episode 103 for anyone wanting to have another listen. So today we're going to build on that by taking a step back and really digging into some of the big questions around gold, like what drives its price, how it performs in times of crisis, and what its relationship is with other assets. So joining us today to delve into those questions and more is a man who's seriously qualified to speak on this topic, Chief Market Strategist at the World Gold Council, Joe Cavatoni. Joe, thanks so much for joining us today.
Tom, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
You are so welcome, Joe. I guess before we really jump into things, could you give us a quick explainer as to what the World Gold Council is all about?
Sure. We're an organization that's globally based. We're over 30 years in existence. We were founded by the world's largest gold mining companies. Our goals are pretty simple and pretty straightforward. We're educating and developing the gold market for better understanding, better trust and transparency, and consumption of gold as a global asset, which I think we're going to talk a lot about today. We have data and insights and research that help people understand gold, but we also do market structure work, we do policy work, and we work with investors of all kinds to make sure that they have everything they need to understand the asset, feel comfortable, trust it, track it, trace it, and own it as part of their portfolio.
Awesome. Well, that's I think that's good for everyone to know straight off. So I guess big question up top for you then, Joe. What drives demand for gold?
It's a great question, and a question we always start with. There are lots of factors, but they can be simply organized in terms of the way that people should think about it. I'd start by saying gold is a commodity, but when you think about it, remember a couple of key factors. Number one, it behaves more like a macro asset than maybe a traditional commodity. And number two, it is global in scale, not only from the production side where it gets pulled out of the ground by mining companies, but also, most importantly, how it gets consumed. Mm. So if you think about how we produce our data and our insights for people, we produce a quarterly report called the Gold Demand Trends, and it does an excellent job of laying down four main demand categories of how gold gets purchased. The first is jewelry. The second is in the form of investment. The third is in the form of technology. And then last, and an increasing level of attention is paid to this area, it's with central banks. So these four broad-based categories cover both consumer behavior around gold, but investment behavior as well. And it's really important for people to understand that. Strategically, long-term, there are factors at play. Wealth creation and economic expansion tends to have people putting their money into savings and exploring and consuming more consumable products, maybe jewelry, a much more readily available asset when you have a wealth creation. But also market risk and fear tend to put money into people's bank accounts and into their savings because they're concerned around that portfolio dynamic that could play out. That's kind of the strategic nature and how people think about gold. But then you can't avoid the tactical side of things. This is what we get a lot of media around. The price is up, the price is down. What's it doing locally? That's driven by opportunity costs, like what's the best move for me to make with my portfolio today? But then also some kind of event risk and market risk and momentum, like something happens geopolitically or there's a crisis in the world. Gold moves quickly. We've seen that recently. So think about gold as a global asset, think about those categories of consumption and then think about both strategic allocation to gold and then tactical allocation to gold. And if you think about it in that light, it's pretty easy to understand the market and actually really kind of simple to kind of look at it forward and think about what's going to be how the price will perform.
So Joe, one of the bits that I've come across in my research is on gold is about central banks. So I'm really curious to know, why do central banks actually hold gold?
It's a great question. And it's actually something that's getting a lot more attention as the consumption, particularly by the developing market and emerging market central banks, continues to increase. So we do an annual survey at the World Gold Council where we get together at least 80 to 85 different central banks. And we talk to them about what's motivating the behavior in their reserve portfolio. Top of mind repeatedly has been historically that they're concerned about their inflation risks, not only on the home front, but also as an exposure to their dollar-based assets and global inflation. Second, they have high levels of concern and interest in ensuring that they have liquidity in their portfolio when they need it. And then increasingly, they are watching the dynamic of globalization, geopolitical risks, and they're thinking about that as a component of their portfolio risk and how to assess that, and adding the right kind of diversifying effects to their portfolio. And gold plays a key role in that when they think about getting into how can I protect ourselves against maybe a currency or a market having issues that could impact the assets that they already hold in their portfolio. They run their portfolios a lot like institutional investors, but they have that added element of being able to keep an eye on the global markets, keep an eye on the globalization of the markets, but also a responsibility to making sure that their home market is continued to be treated with the utmost respect and concerns around how to, challenging problems onshore, they need to be in a position to manage with them.
I think this this flows really well onto the next question I want to ask then, Joe. You know, we're obviously a couple of weeks into this this terrible conflict in the Middle East, and for full transparency, we're recording at the start of November, so that's where we're at the moment. So, how does gold typically perform in times of conflict and also economic uncertainty like we're in at the moment?
Gold is a safe haven asset. When there's risk and uncertainty, which we talked about in terms of market risk, but also kind of short-term risks, you tend to see a flight to safe haven assets, and gold is one of the best assets to perform that function in a portfolio because it is actually global in nature, and it removes itself from any potential localization of currency risks that may develop in any of these six situations. So recently, we've had an event in the Middle East, Israel-Hamas issue. This is a terrible event. And what you've seen happen is the impact of that event on the gold price has been a rebound of the gold price, which is what you would expect in this type of an event. We had events that have taken place over the last 3 years, the Russian invasion of Ukraine. We've had a global and a local banking crisis. Actually, pretty amazing that a local, regional, super regional banking crisis in the U.S. had the same kind of impact on gold. But it actually talks a lot about the fact that safe haven is not only a local issue, but a global issue. And I think that that's the role that gold plays. We recently published a report that talks about how gold does behave when these types of events take place. And the period of time could be short, could be a matter of weeks. It could be longer, it could be a matter of months. And on average, it could be as much as 2-3% over that short period of time in terms of the minimal impact an event could have on the gold price. But the reason it does this is that there is this flight to quality, whether it's because people want to have something that they can keep in their pocket when they need to make emergency moves to get out of a country, or if a central bank, for example, is looking at how an event in the Middle East might impact US dollar assets, because that might have an impact on how the U.S. fiscal and monetary policy develops, as maybe the U.S. gets spread a bit thin between helping out in the Ukraine and now having an obligation to deal with the financial requirements and the support that comes along with backing Israel and dealing with humanitarian issues. Can the U.S. sustain that kind of thin spread financial support in a market in a world where its debt obligations are as high as they've ever been, and the cost of carrying that debt is as high as it's ever been. So all of these factors are playing into central bank behaviors, other market investor behaviors, and they're saying, wow, this geopolitical event may look, you know, local, but it has much bigger implications as it relates to global behavior. You know, we talk about central banks. Remember, this is the second year we're on pace to see a record level of demand. Year to date, through third quarter, we've seen near 800 tons of gold bought by central banks. A more smooth trajectory of consumption by the central banks. Again, China, the Philippines, Poland, Singapore, Turkey. These are regular consumers of gold. These are all banks that are buying. Last year, we had a record number of tons bought by gold by central banks, about 1,100 tons bought by central banks. So if we continue on this trajectory for 2023, we're going to see another record level. Now, what's playing into that again? Political risk, geopolitical risks, event risk, but also going back to the survey that we do, a general indication by the central banks that they're going to move away from a dependency on one or many currencies that are global in nature. 5 years out, both the dollar and the euro have been identified as an asset pool that will be a lower component of reserve portfolios through the central banks that we talk to.
We've talked a little bit about the demand drives for gold and how it's typically performed in, you know, tougher economic times, as you've just mentioned. And in a second, I want to get into, you know, gold's relationship with other assets, Joe. But first, today's episode is brought to you by Aware Super. Have you been thinking about retirement? Aware Super's My Retirement Planner is helping their members get retirement ready, whether retirement is 2 or 20 years away. It can help answer questions like, how much super do you need for retirement? Are you on track to meet your retirement goals? And what changes could you make now to help grow your savings? Aware Super's My Retirement Planner also provides a personalized step-by-step action plan, all available as part of the membership at no additional cost. It's a great first step in getting retirement ready. So find out how Aware Super could help you get retirement ready at aware.com.au. Be sure to read the PDS and TMD before deciding though. So Joe, picking back up, is there any relationship between gold and other assets, for example, you know, bonds, in terms of how it performs as an asset?
You know, this is a question we constantly talk to institutional investors about, which is understanding that strategic and that tactical nature of gold. And where we often end up in our discussion is that there are interesting facts around gold that people need to understand. Many people will talk to you in the markets around getting diversification in your asset pool. Everyone has seen over the last 5 years in particular has been this model of correlations or diversification kind of breakdown. Bonds and equities have behaved similarly. And actually, now that we're dealing in a world of moving rates and monetary policy weighing into curb inflation, it's kind of playing out in the opposite direction. They're correlating again negatively or positively in a negative direction. So what we find with gold, and we've done a significant amount of analysis, both global and local in markets, is that gold has a very, very interesting behavior when it comes to correlation. So when rising markets and wealth is being created, that's when that economic expansion driver of gold kicks in. And that's why gold correlates positively in markets that rise. That's a good thing for people to understand that it's just not a safe haven asset. It goes up when markets go up because you get rich, you spend money, you save money, and it becomes a component of that portfolio. Increasingly, it becomes a diversifying benefit to a portfolio so that when you have a moment of risk, market risk and uncertainty, that other strategic driver, it correlates negatively in that kind of an environment. So if your equities or your bonds are dropping in value because people are selling, it tends to perform well in that market as well. So the correlation or the diversification benefits that you get from gold is that it tracks on the upside favorably because of wealth creation, and it tracks favorably when assets are selling off because of the fact that it's a safe haven and people flock to it for asset preservation. Now, in every asset that we look at, whether it's bonds or equities or gold, you might say, well, that didn't work last month or that didn't work last year. There are obviously trends that can actually be shorter term. And obviously, we would encourage people to look beyond the short-term behaviors, because an element of gold that's really critical and important to understand is it's a very, very liquid market globally. $150 billion a day on average is what gold trades. So people tend to go to it when they say, okay, let's liquidate something. Let's make a move in our portfolio. Gold becomes that asset to sell. You know, here locally, you know, we're hitting really, really high levels of gold prices in Australia. I would venture to say people are saying, yeah, I'm going to take a little bit of that money off the table right now. It looks good for us. And that happens. So that doesn't buck the trend or refute the math. It basically just gives you a short-term momentum and kind of opportunity cost behavior that we talk about in that tactical category. So understand that, but just see the vision long-term. And it's that diversification that keeps driving people to these portfolio allocations that are becoming more and more meaningful.
Joe, we're getting a bit short on time here, and I know you've addressed this throughout our conversation already, but do you think an allocation of gold can ultimately benefit someone's portfolio? And if so, how?
Absolutely. So the level of allocation depends on everyone's individual portfolio. But the first thing that people need to appreciate is that the diversification benefits are definitely there for you. Over the long-term expected returns of gold will add a positive component to your portfolio. Don't get confused over people telling you it doesn't pay a dividend or a coupon or has a return. It has a return. It's a price appreciation return. And over the long term, because of either wealth creation or market risk and uncertainty, you will see the expected return that we have seen in ranges of 8 to 12%. And outward forward looking more along the lines of 5 to 6%, you'll see that return long term. And on the short term, when we continue to have these moments of risk and uncertainty and events, and we've talked about a wall of worry over the last few years in COVID, which has been whether it's a Brexit moment or a tension between China and the US, an election year in each of these markets, these continue to pop up unexpectedly and very challenging to monitor and measure in terms of risk and how you should handle it. What you see when these moments happen, gold will perform well as that safe haven asset. So you have a tactical protector in your portfolio, and you have a strategic allocation that will actually ultimately benefit you. Now, again, each portfolio is unique and different, so I would encourage everyone to talk to their advisors about it. And each market might be different. Like here in Australia, you've had a weakening dollar or Aussie dollar, and you've had a strong gold price. So take a look at the market, take a look at the time, but always think about a core allocation. On average, 2.5% would be where we'd start and how we'd say to people, let's get the discussion going, because it's important for you to have that diversification benefit in your portfolio.
Joe, this has been an absolutely fascinating chat, and I hate to wrap things up, but we are out of time for today. So thank you so much for coming on and for all the great insights that you've given us into the world of gold.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you very much.
Speaking of thanks, I'd also like to give a big shout out to today's sponsor, Aware Super. Have you been thinking about retirement? Well, Aware Super's My Retirement Planner is helping their members get retirement ready, whether retirement is 2 or 20 years away. Find out how Aware Super could help you get retirement ready at aware.com.au. Be sure to read the PDS and TMD before deciding, though. That's it for this episode of the Friends with Money podcast. But don't forget, you can keep up to date with all the latest financial news on our website by heading over to moneymag.com.au. Or if you've got a topical question you'd love for us to explore, you can shoot us an email through to podcast@moneymag.com.au. As always, we'll be right back in your podcast feeds next week. So until then, I'm Tom Watson. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.